Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Come along and join associate producer and correspondent Susie Rodriguez, reporting from Ann Arbor, Michigan, where she continues her exploration of the town's cool, hip, and happening restaurant scene. Rodriguez visits with Adam Baru at Mani Osteria, Mezzavino's general manager Nikki Leibold and chef Dexter Dickens, Slurping Turtles creator and chef Tadashi Nagura and general manager Albert Lazon. And then she visits with Vinology's general manager, Vinny Jonah, and chef Adam Galloway.
Adam Baru is a hometown guy who left Ann Arbor years ago to work for a Chicago advertising firm. After 8 years, he opted for a new career, attending Cornell University as a graduate student in restaurant and hotel management. He then spent nearly a decade as a general manager for premier restaurant organizations before returning home to start and manage his own restaurant, the chic but comfy Mani Osteria in the heart of downtown Ann Arbor. I asked Baru what accounts for the town's culinary diversity.
Like a lot of things, you have to thank the university. The university creates such an eclectic group of people who are in a town of 100,000 people that it becomes a sort of a very small sort of melting pot of different flavors and tastes and culture. And people love Ann Arbor and they end up coming to school here or teaching here and they stay. They don't come to school here and leave. And when they stay, you start seeing things like how it affects the food scene. You know, we did it obviously Italian for our first restaurant. Our second restaurant is Mexican. And why did we do that? My wife is Mexican and I thought it was important. We see Indian restaurants that are absolutely wonderful. And you see such an eclectic group of restaurants and just wonderful food and people really taking advantage of the ingredients here locally. That, you know, downtown itself has just become really such a wonderful dining spot, because you have so many different tastes represented. And you can have Italian one day, you can have Spanish tapas the next, you can really have whatever your heart desires in a very small town, which is nice.
It is, it's great. So tell me a little bit about Mani. How did you start it? And what's the theme? What's the idea behind it?
Mani is a restaurant that we started about 4 years ago. I was originally from Ann Arbor. I still have family in Ann Arbor. We want to move back to the area. We have a small daughter, my wife and I. And the idea of raising her in Ann Arbor versus in Philadelphia, Chicago, New York, where we'd spent time before, was just really appealing. Ann Arbor has so much to offer for a family, and we really wanted to be back in this area. So we decided to open Mani Osteria after being on the East Coast for a while. And
had you been in the food industry?
Yeah, I actually worked for a number of restaurateurs and chefs. Chef Morimoto from Iron Chef, Chef Jose Garces, also from Iron Chef. There's probably not a lot of general managers who have worked for two, and I did over the course of a couple of years and just learned so much from both of them, as well as the restaurateurs that I had a chance to work for, like Steven Starr.
What were you doing for them?
I was running their restaurants, at times opening restaurants for them. I opened up Morimoto in New York. I also had the chance, prior to working with them, to work for Danny Meyer in New York City, and always look at him as a mentor of the way that, you know, we take care of guests and just the focus of hospitality, food, and how those things come together to create a really just a wonderful experience. So we wanted to bring that back to Ann Arbor. We thought that there was an opportunity to do so.
And how did you settle on the idea of an osteria?
You know, an osteria to me is something that's, it's not unlike a bistro, you know, and I spent a lot of time in France and a lot of time in bistros, and I just like the feel that you have a little corner spot. It's almost a clubhouse for the community. The restaurant was never intended to be a restaurant that was marketed towards students. It was really marketed towards the townie, towards those of us who are here year-round, people here who want to support restaurants that recognize faces and are turning out food that's made from scratch every day. They recognize the chef in the kitchen. They hopefully recognize me in the dining room. You develop relationships that way. And to me, an osteria or a bistro is that sort of local hub where people can go and see friends, where we get to see them. And, you know, hopefully we get to see them on a weekly basis.
I really had the feeling in there tonight. We were in the dining room.
Yes.
And there was some serious eating going on. Sure. And below us was the bar, and I'm not sure, but I'm guessing you can have small plates in the bar, is that correct?
Full menu is available in the bar.
And there were some people watching a sporting event, and they were having a high old time.
Yeah.
And now we're outside on the sidewalk, the sidewalk cafe, and it's quiet and peaceful here, and the world is gently drifting by. So it's like three different restaurants in one, and each has its beautiful atmosphere, and it's very nice.
Thank you for that. I think that it happened by accident that we really created that, and it's great. I always wanted a restaurant that had the energy of a bar, but where families would want to come. That people would bring their kids to dine. They'd take a minute to stop, and everything would stop around them, and they'd get to enjoy good food in a nice ambiance, not pay an arm and a leg, and get to enjoy sitting as a family. Yet there was still this bar component, and I think they did a wonderful job of creating this energy of the bar. But because it's on a different level, by 3 feet, you get that energy, yet at the dining room, you can dine. And that was really, you know, sort of a happy sort of finding when we actually got up and running, that actually has been really conducive to having all these different people coming in for whatever the reason, whether it be a celebration, whether it be shorts and flip-flops, whether it be a date, a first date, we see it all.
Briefly explain the theory behind the food. What are you hoping to achieve?
That's a great question. It was always meant to be a restaurant that wasn't precious, it's not fussy, it's very recognizable. You know, it's pasta bolognese, it's spaghetti and meatballs, it's a linguine with shellfish, it's tagliatelle, carbonara, but hopefully what we're doing is we're just twisting it a little bit. We're doing something a little fun, unique, a little different. The fact that we make everything in-house, our pizza dough, our pasta dough, we sheet it every day, we stuff it every day. There's a lot of pride taken by the team that works here to really create food that is delicious with big flavors, but at the end of the day, people come in and they recognize what it is that we're doing. Pizza's pizza, but pizza that's been turned into a pizza puttanesca, hopefully that's unique.
Or
taking advantage of seasonal asparagus to do an asparagus pizza, which is one of my personal favorites right now. You know, you take advantage for that short period of time. Baby artichokes, it's seasonal, you get that for a few weeks, and then we'll change it again. So we always have spots on the menu that take advantage of Michigan seasonality, Michigan ingredients that you get for a short window of time, and then other menu items are very sort of, you know, traditional, yet we've taken and sort of put our own twist on it. I think you had the Caesar salad this evening, in which, you know, you have an egg sitting on top and you break it open and the poached egg sort of spills out and creates its own sauce. You know, it's just one of those dishes that we put on very early on that will never come off the menu, because people just love to see a new interpretation.
Yes, it is a new interpretation. The egg was actually, it was coated in...
It's almost like a Scottish egg that's been exactly on top of a Caesar salad with white anchovy. So
it was great fun to break it open myself and then toss the salad.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that was important to us when we started the menu was that food is fun. Food is meant to be shared with people. It's not something that you have to be scared of. We wanted people to get dishes and be able to interact with their food. Create your own bruschetta. You know, break the egg and create your own dressing. You know, mix things around and taste them and have different flavors and textures. And it was so important to sort of what we were doing. And the chef have done such a wonderful job of really continuing to execute that after 4 years and continuing to come up with dishes that continue to sort of stay focused on really what it was since day one. And I think because of that, we see people coming back again and again. We're just really fortunate for that.
What is the name of the chef?
His name is Brendan McCall. And Brendan has been here since day one. He was living in Ann Arbor. He's got experience sort of bouncing around some of the restaurants here. It took about 3 minutes to say, I love this guy. It probably took him more like 10. But either way, I was like, this is the guy. He is as kind and creative, and you just don't find people like that in general. And to have that guy who's now my business partner, and he's part owner in the business, we've been very fortunate.
That's a fantastic story. Well, Adam Baru, thank you very much. If people want to learn more about you and the restaurant, what's the URL?
You can go to maniosteria.com, maniosteria.com. And if you're in Ann Arbor, stop by and say hello.
Thank you very much, Adam, owner of Mani Osteria in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
It's been a pleasure.
The small plate concept is popular everywhere these days, and Ann Arbor is no exception. One of the first restaurants here to go with small plates was Mezzavino at the center of downtown. The name says it all. Mezza means small plates, and most of us like our vino. With its high styling and dynamic atmosphere, Mezzavino is an exciting place. You can try an array of dishes influenced by Spain, France, Italy, Greece, and Morocco, along with wines from those and many other locations, craft cocktails, and craft beers. I spoke first with General Manager Nikki Lebold. Nikki, tell me about Mezzavino. How did it come into being, and why Mediterranean cuisine?
It's definitely a different concept for all of our Main Street Ventures restaurants. This was kind of going back to the roots. Dennis Saris was one of the first founders of Main Street Ventures. He opened Real Seafood in 1975. He's Greek, but he has a history of knowing to be found in the Mediterranean, kind of floating around and, you know, out there. And he just really loved the concept of sharing and kind of creating a very dynamic experience for the guests. And he only could thought that that would be able to be achieved by making a restaurant that really focused on the strengths of the Mediterranean, the flavors, the wine, and tapas. And tapas are now something really new and creative way of restaurants presenting food that you are able to share with everybody. You know, it's sometimes just having your own entree, everyone asks, how is that? And then they want to try it anyways. So here we are, Mediterranean inspired, small plate concept, all shareable. And then we feature wine a la facel, and that a la facel is also shared for the table.
Could you explain a la facel for our listeners?
Absolutely. A la facel wine is a way of presenting wine, whereas if you were to order a glass, the bottle would come to the table. The bottle is marked, and you're only going to drink what, you know, as much as you'd like, and you're only going to be charged for as much as you like. But if you and I were sitting here and you ordered a glass of wine, and I said, how is that wine? You said, oh my God, you love it. You should have some. The bottle's there on the table. And then you're at the end of the dining experience. If you only drink two glasses, you're only charged two glasses.
Well, the atmosphere in here is incredible. It's so lively and fun. It's clear that this is a very popular place. Was the tapas concept popular right from the start?
Well, we're one of the first of Ann Arbor to kind of take on this concept. It's been developed. I definitely say it's been developed. When we presented it, people are going, whoa, what do you mean I got to share my food? And then they're really getting into it. They're like, oh my God, yeah, try this, as they're passing around food. So, you know, it is something that I think we're a little ahead of the boat on. So I do believe that it's something that will continue to grow, and we will be and are very successful at achieving kind of that dynamic in the dining experience.
Mm-hmm. One thing that really has impressed me is the remarkable wine list. It's pretty sensational.
Thank you.
A lot of Mediterranean wines from Italy, France, Spain. I didn't notice if there were wines from North Africa. Are there?
There isn't North African wines. What you will find on there is a red Sardinian wine, which is very uncommon. Even more uncommon is a Lebanese wine, a wine from Lebanon. You know that they have one vineyard in specific that is in the no war zone. So, and there's one area, and it's about 50 acres of vineyard, and there's no bombing.
Oh my God.
And so we've kind of cultivated that wine list just due to some of the unique wines. You'll find wines from Croatia. Who knew, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't until we started trying wine. And the an amazing assortment of Greek wines that really people are really most interested in.
Most people think of Greek wine being Retsina, but Greek wine actually there's a huge range of Greek wine.
Yes.
So with the olive facel concept, somebody could come here, have dinner, and order a glass of Lebanese wine, a glass of Greek wine, just try the whole range of things. The other thing about the wine list is that you have American wines from Michigan, from California, from Oregon, that are similar to, that they go well with Mediterranean food just the way Mediterranean wines do. Could you give us an example or two of
Yeah, we have two Sauvignon Blancs. And Sauvignon Blanc pairs extremely well with our swordfish here. We bring in fresh swordfish, and it's accompanied with some feta cheese and roasted red pepper in a very light basil oil, and that goes really well with the Sauvignon Blanc. We have a Greek Sauvignon Blanc, and we have an American West Coast from California Sauvignon Blanc. And what's really fun is a lot of guests will see that, and they said, I want a Sauvignon Blanc. Well, which one do you want? And I said, why don't you try both? Because you can here, it's LFSL, so you can do that, you know, and, you know, everybody's palate's different, so you're able to really kind of tease your palate and find out what you like best.
Well, thank you very much, Nikki.
Chef Dexter Dakins discussed the philosophy behind Mezzavino's cuisine.
Dexter, tell us what it is that makes the cuisine here so remarkable. It is Mediterranean cuisine, but with a twist, it's got a nouveau kind of front end.
Exactly. We've kind of taken Mediterranean and not just made it as it was, but what we think it can be eventually. We've taken local ingredients from Sparrow Meat Market. We get our fish out of Boston through Foley's. And we do a lot of complex cooking techniques to really bring a lot of depth of flavor to our guests.
What's your training?
My training? Hard knocks. Yep.
So you have no formal training?
Nope. I started with the company about 5 years ago, and they've put me through different classes. They actually sent me to Foley's out in Boston for a 3-day fish class to really learn about where the fish comes from, how we get it here, and how we get the best possible product that we can get.
This is Susie Rodriguez. We've been talking to the chef and general manager of Mezzavino Restaurant in Ann Arbor. Mezzavino specializes in small plate Mediterranean dishes and Mediterranean wines. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Chef Dexter Dakins, in your case, Hard Knocks was the right school to learn cooking. Thanks for speaking with me. You can learn more about the restaurant by visiting mezzavino.com. That's Mezzavino. Slurping Turtle is the creation of its owner and executive chef, Takashi Yagahashi, whose many awards over the years include being named 2003 Best Chef in the Midwest by the James Beard Foundation. The food at Slurping Turtle has been described as Japanese comfort food, but it's much more complex than that. And it's certainly a celebration of fusion and exceptional ingredients. Imagine Connie cream croquettes made with snow crab, potato, bell pepper, and bechamel. Bread miso ramen, in which the noodles are made right before your eyes and then combined with roasted chicken and just big veggies. Or how about Shion Pon, which is stir-fried squid, octopus, shrimp, scallops, and scallion with crispy ramen noodles. I talked with Chef Tadashi Nagura and manager Albert Lazon.
Al, I wonder if you could give me an overview of the restaurant, the history, what we're trying to accomplish here with the cuisine. Chef Nagura, he is the executive chef of this restaurant, and Al is speaking of the founder of our restaurant.
Our owner and, I guess, our head chef, he oversees both this location and the Chicago location. The first restaurant that really made him, I guess, famous in this area was Tribute in Farmington Hills. And he worked there until that restaurant closed down, and then he headed out west and opened a restaurant at the Wynn Casino. After that, he went up to Chicago and opened his namesake restaurant, Takashi, which was his first. It was like a higher-end, very fine dining Japanese-French fusion, because Chef Takashi's background is, he is Japanese, but his training was French. He began doing noodle brunches on Sundays at Takashi Restaurant to cater to some of the younger clientele that couldn't afford to try his higher-end plates at Takashi. And it got so popular that he was spending most of his week preparing for the noodle brunch. So then they decided to get some people together and start up the Slurping Turtle in Chicago. And then it did well enough out there that when Chef Takashi's daughter came to go to school in Ann Arbor at University of Michigan, they chose this as their second location to kind of get back to Michigan and to be closer to the family. His son also went to school at Michigan State University, so I think his wife may have forced him to pick this location so they could be closer to the kids. I'm not really sure. But then this store opened up in April 21st of last year.
Chef Nagura, this restaurant is not only about noodles. There are incredible things on the menu. Could you describe the cuisine for us?
We have cold tapas, hot tapas, noodle, and maki, which is sushi. That's our program to do. More like a comfort, Japanese comfort food. It's like a street food that we do in Japan, but we make it like a little modern, more fusion. And
today I had hamachi tacos, which were miniature tacos with a tartare of yellowtail, truffle soy, taro root shell. That was just astonishing. Am I saying this right? Kani cream?
Kani cream croquette.
Those were fabulous. How do you dream up these wonderful concoctions?
All the menu come up from Chef Takashi. I think when he was sleeping, he come up some kind of idea. His idea is so wonderful. Every time he come up something new.
How would you describe the clientele? Is it primarily students, or do you get a mixture of people?
Here in Ann Arbor, we have more university student and professor, doctor. Those kind of people is our main clientele.
Al, I'm really intrigued by the idea of, on Wednesday night, you have sake explosion.
Sake bombs.
Tell us about that.
On Wednesday nights, we stay open a little bit late. We open up the whole upstairs room basically for a karaoke night. We have a local karaoke DJ that comes out, and we just have a wide range of drink specials and food specials. I guess the main focus is the sake bombs, which are on super special, which is basically a light Japanese lager, which then we drop a small shot of sake into. It's a very social event. Everyone does it together, and they chant while they're doing it and stuff like that. So it's very fun. The students in the area are starting to love it. So we just started the karaoke and sake bomb night a few months ago. So we're just, fine-tuning all of it and seeing what people want from us right now. We started it in the basement, and then we realized that people would be able to see it better if it was upstairs. So we started doing it. We do it right in the front windows here, and that way anyone who's walking by can see the lights and see people singing, and hopefully it entices them to come in and join us for a song or a round of sake bombs.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. It's a fabulous restaurant, great food, great fun. Thank you very much, Al.
Thanks for having us.
And Chef. Al, if people want to contact you,
slurpingturtle.com.
Located in a beautifully renovated 19th century building on Ann Arbor's Main Street, Vinology is a restaurant, wine bar, and celebration venue. As a restaurant, it serves rockin' good, high-concept American comfort food. As a wine bar, it carries quality wines from around the world, often offering wines that are extremely rare. As a venue for small celebrations such as weddings, the sort of one-of-a-kind experience that continues to warm the memory banks long after the experience is over. Vinology is owned by the Jonah family. In the mid-1980s, Father John Jonah was a founder of Merchant of Vino, a company that specialized in fine wines and gourmet food. By 1997, when it was sold to Whole Foods Market, Merchant of Vino had become one of the nation's premier gourmet wine and food chains. The Jonah children grew up learning about food and wine and bring that knowledge to Vinology, and for that matter, all the family's culinary endeavors. This is Susie Rodriguez reporting from Ann Arbor, Michigan. I'm at Vinology Restaurant and Wine Bar, speaking with Vinnie Jonah, the general manager. Hi, Vinnie.
Hello. Thank you, and thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you for speaking with us today. And also Adam Galloway, Vinology chef. Hi.
Hi. How are you doing? Pleasure to be speaking with you today.
First of all, I want to say this building is beautiful. The decor is beautiful. We've just had a very delightful lunch in the basement of the restaurant. This is where you do a lot of private affairs. Is that correct?
That is correct. We prefer to call it the lower level. Mm-hmm. It is a build-out that we did from a 100-year-old Meyer Schreer office supply building. We renovated it for the restaurant, dug into the basement. It actually was two different businesses. It was a piano store, and it was an office supply store. And when we came in, we combined the two locations, dug out the basements to create our cellar, vine, and bubble room, which you guys enjoyed your meal at.
The walls are old red brick and stone. Hanging from the ceiling are many hand-blown glass bubbles. How many are there, Vinny?
Hundreds, I think. Yeah, we actually added more. We actually built bubble chandeliers to add even more bubbles to fill in all of the space. Over the years, sometimes people get too excited and they jump up and tap a bubble and they end up breaking. They don't realize they're all glass. So I added more. We have a bubble chandelier and a huge bubble thing in the back, and it's just the perfect space for weddings and stuff.
It is. It's the perfect place for weddings, and as a matter of fact, you have very many weddings down there. That's what I've been told.
You know, small weddings are the in thing, I feel like. People spend way too much on the giant 300-person wedding, and so this enables people to not only have a great environment that's small, but also with Chef Adam's food to have a great dining experience.
So, Chef Adam, let me ask you a question. You told me that you worked in restaurants while you were going to college. You actually intended to be a chemist.
Yeah, I was actually went to Western Michigan. I was going for a degree in biology and a degree in chemistry. I was working through restaurants the entire time and really realized that my passion lied in food and cooking. You know, that led me to move to Chicago and really dive in full force to becoming a chef.
That's wonderful. How has the chemistry background that you have, has that impacted your approach toward food in any way?
Well, it has, especially on the pastry end. You know, pastries, you know, the correlation between pastries and chemistry is almost one-to-one. I consider pastry a science. Cooking is more of an art or a craft, but the pastry experience that I've gained, you know, that's where I really dive in and use my chemistry background. I also, you know, we do use liquid nitrogen and a few other modernist cooking techniques that, with my chemical background, has really helped know what percentages by weight that I need to add to certain items. So, yeah, it has helped quite a bit.
So the food here is from around the world. You pick and choose from a variety of cuisines. What would you say are your favorite dishes at the moment?
We have an octopus dish that is truly one of my favorites. It actually blends two different types of octopus. They're actually the same breed of octopus. They're both Spanish octopus, but one is harvested at a very young age. They're around 4 ounces apiece. The other ones are up to 8 to 10 pounds. So the textural difference in those two octopus, the cooking methods, we cook them completely differently. One is red wine braise, one is a quick little butter braise, and we serve that with a Kalamata tomato sauce. And it's really one of my favorite dishes. Another dish I'd have to say is one of my favorites is our duck. And this is where we're kind of blending a little bit of my chemistry background. We use a product called transglutaminase, which is actually, it's meat glue. It's an enzyme that bonds protein to protein. So we debone a duck leg and wrap the leg around a duck sausage. So we actually glue the meat back to itself to, you know, have the crispy skin on the outside and the nice and juicy duck on the inside.
Well, that's amazing. That reminds me of 100 years ago, they used to make dishes where they would stick a quail inside a duck, inside a chicken, and on. And it's a bit like that, but much more streamlined.
We've used the same process to make a turducken roulade as well. So we had the turkey tenderloin, the duck leg, and a chicken sausage. So we have played around with that. It's definitely fun.
Another question is, as far as weddings, what is the number one dish that people seem to want for the reception?
We have three different tiers of menus. We have a little bit lower price, a medium range, and then our final menu is one that is almost directly correlated to our regular dining menu. We really try to make sure with our weddings that they're still getting the vinology experience from food to service. We try not to stray too far. We like to keep it at a very high level, and that's why we keep the weddings smaller in the space. Red meat is always one of the most favorite dishes, whether it's braised short rib or sirloin or our smoked ribeye. Those are all. The red meat usually wins out.
The other half of this restaurant is the wines. You have, I believe, 100 wines that you serve in the bottle. 50 wines by the glass.
250.
Oh.
And it's always changing and growing. My dad has a wall of experimental bottles. He actually buys wine cellars, and he has been doing that for years now. He will buy someone's like $500,000 cellar, and he actually auction it off to China or whatever. There's a lot of people who collect wine here. More wine than they'll ever be able to drink. So my dad is always trying to find these great deals, and you know, some of these are risky because they're what you call oulaged. There's some things, a little bit of wine missing. It gets an opportunity to try wine that is not even made anymore. So there's that wall, but there's also, my dad has a separate list. We call it the John Jonah list. And he finds really cool boutique deals that are out there, and we sell it to our guests, great prices. We even have a locker program where people buy in a wine locker and they get to buy wine at retail prices and have it at the table. Wine is a bit intimidating. It's a hard business to be in because the margins on wine are so low, and people don't realize this when they're going out to eat. People don't focus, restaurants don't focus on wine lists because they're incredibly expensive to maintain. You need a high level of intelligence. You need to have a clientele that supports the kind of brands that you can bring in for the prices that you can, you know, afford to charge. So it's hard to manage in this business, and I think that's why you rarely find someone of our caliber who has the passion for it. Because of my dad's history as a gourmet wine and food retailer, and my sister next to him with a great palate and her ability to understand vintages after vintages, understand the wine market so well, that we're able to present, I think, a good selection of wine at great prices.
For our listeners, why don't you tell us a little bit about your family's background? Vinology is a family-owned restaurant, and your family has been in the wine and food business for quite a long time, starting with your father.
My dad has been in the retail business for about 50 years now. Just recently, we've been in the bar business for the past 10 years. We had a deli, so we were always going into the goat cheeses and all the different styles of Morbier, and you know, it was really exciting. He brought in imported crackers and food, and he had 10,000 SKUs of wine in his shop. It was kind of wine focused, but it pretty much went into that world concept, which is what we brought, you know, a challenge to Adam and say, like, can you really design a menu for, you know, the world cuisine? And so my family has been running the kind of business for a long time.
How many years?
Like I said, my dad's been in the business, I think, around 50 years in the retail and about 10 years in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. So this is we opened up another restaurant in Birmingham, The Bird and the Bread, and we also started Vinoteca in Royal Oak. So we're pretty familiar with the restaurant business. We were luckily got a great chef.
I did want to add that despite the fact that you're very focused on wine and have a great deal of expertise, for people who come to the restaurant who know nothing about wine, they feel very comfortable here because it's not a snobby place. That's one way to put it.
Yeah, it's upscale casual. No coats required.
Yeah.
You can come in jeans if you want, although most people dress nice, you know. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to be that European kind of upscale feel.
Well, I really enjoyed talking to you, Chef Adam and Vinny.
Thanks for tuning in.
Pleasure talking with you. Hope to see you in Ann Arbor soon.
If people want to learn more about the restaurant,
it's
URL?
It's vinology2.com, vinology2.com. A squared is the thing for Ann Arbor.
Thank you. I'm Susie Rodriguez reporting from Ann Arbor.
To learn more about Ann Arbor, Michigan and its incredible diverse culinary scene, log on to visitannarbor.org.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year.
The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning,